is the 21st January 1992. Shall we continue our Dhamma talk? Or new discourse? Yes, today I would like you to listen to the whole discourse of the Buddha. This discourse is known as the Dharukhandopama Sutta in Pali. It's recorded in Samyutta Nikaya. And deliver this discourse in the title of the Parable of the Log. At the Buddhist Vihara in London, 1982. So after the discourse was delivered, they transcribed it and published this discourse in their Buddhist forum, Janet, I think. I copied from the Buddhist forum and make a book. when I delivered the discourse in London, it took about 1.5 hours. So now I reduce it. If I do not read the book, it takes about 2 hours. So I'll read it out so that we can finish it in 1 hour's time. Today, I would like to deal with the discourse of the omniscient Buddha recorded in the Samyutta Nikaya. It's Dharukhandopama Sutta, the parable of the log. Once the omniscient Buddha was sitting under a tree on the bank of the river Ganga near the city of Kosambi. 500 bhikkhus accompanied him. The Lord Buddha saw a very big log being carried down the river by the current. He pointed to the log and said, "O bhikkhus, do you see that big log which is being carried along by the current of the river?" And the bhikkhus replied, "Yes, venerable sir, we see it." Then the Lord Buddha continued, "If that log is not caught on the near bank, it will reach the ocean. If it's not caught on the far bank, it will reach the ocean. If it's not submerged under the water, it will reach the ocean. If it does not land on a small island in the middle of the river, it will reach the ocean. If it's not taken away by a human being, it will reach the ocean. If it's not taken away by a deity, it will reach the ocean. If it does not sink into a whirlpool, it will reach the ocean. If it does not become rotten, it will reach the ocean." Here the omniscient Buddha points out that if there is not any of these eight faults, the lock will reach the ocean. Then the Buddha said, why will this lock reach the ocean? Could you answer this question? Why will this lock reach the ocean? Yes, all the answers are correct. Yes, here the Buddha said, it's because the current of the river inclines towards the ocean. Is it right? It will therefore reach the ocean if it has none of these eight faults. In the same way, bhikkhus, you will reach Nibbana if you have none of these eight faults. Why? Because Samadhi, right understanding, inclines towards Nibbana, the cessation of dukkha. However, because this is just a simile, then one of the monks requested the Lord Buddha to explain the simile, which the Buddha did in this way. The words near bank refer to the six sense doors: eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. The words of our bank refer to the six sense objects: visible objects, sound or voice, smell or sense, taste, tangible things, and mind objects. Sinking into the water means being attached to any sentient being or inanimate thing. Landing on a small island in the middle of the river means conceit, pride, or haughtiness. Taken away by a human being means that a bhikkhu lives mingling improperly with a deity. Taken away by a deity means doing good deeds for the purpose of being reborn in the heaven and having the realm of devas or brahmas. Sinking into a whirlpool means indulgence and five kinds of sensual pleasures. Becoming rotten means pretending to be virtuous when one is not actually virtuous. Although the omniscient Buddha addressed this discourse to bhikkhus, It's for all, irrespective of race and religion. Anyone who has none of these eight faults can reach the ocean. When he has reached the ocean, he has got free from the realm of existence and got rid of suffering, dukkha. In some discourses of the omniscient Buddha, the ocean refers to the cycle of rebirths, samsara, and in the others to Nibbana, the cessation of suffering. In this discourse, what the Buddha refers to with the word ocean is Nibbana. Then, what does the Buddha mean when he compares the near bank with six sense doors and the far bank with six sense objects? Here, I would like to say a few words about the word mind. In the psychology of Buddhism, citta, which knows the object, does not last even for the blinking of an eye. Herein, the word mind is used in the sense of a citta, which knows the object and a very instantly possessed way. Cognition of the object does not last for even one millionth of a second. Occasionally, we use the word consciousness, which may be better than the word mind. Consciousness or mind knows the object, but the eye does not know it. with the help of the eye, one of the six sense doors, consciousness sees the object. For example, you see a brand new Rolls Royce car. In this case, there is a visible object, and there is the eye that makes the mind or consciousness see the object. If you see that Rolls Royce, you may feel how good it would be to own one. If it is your own car, it will give you much pleasure. You are attached to it because you see it and take it to be a very nice car of yours. You do not regard it as just a natural process of a material phenomenon. You are caught on the far bank, the car, and the near bank, the eye. Because your attachment arises dependent on the car, the visible object, and the eye, one of the six sense doors. The eye is one of the six sense doors. When the eye contacts the color or the form of the car, there arises a consciousness that sees the car. But consciousness of a seeing does not stop there. It goes further. It thinks, yes, it's my car, a very good car, a new car. I bought it yesterday. It cost a lot of money. In this way, you become attached to the Rolls Royce. That means that you are attached to a non-living thing because of its color and form, a visible object, and because of the eye. So you are attached to the car. Suppose you park it on the side of the road and a person carelessly drives his car past yours and scratches the door of your car. Then you feel angry. You feel angry because it's your car that is scratched. It means that you have attachment, lobha, and anger, dosa. Do lobha and dosa bring you happiness? No. They bring you unhappiness, dukkha. And why do you have this dukkha? Your suffering and unhappiness arise because you yourself are stuck on the near bank, as well as on the far bank. That attachment arises depending on the visible object, the car. With the help of the eye, so you have that suffering because of the eye consciousness which keeps you stranded on the near bank. If you are attached to the car with the help of your eye, you will not reach the ocean, Nibbana. You will be clinging to the far bank as well as the near bank. You won't reach the ocean. The lock is compared with khandhas or a human being. Khandhas means the five aggregates of a mental and physical phenomena. Because you do not see the five aggregates as five aggregates of a mentality and physicality, you take them to be a person, a being, a self, or a soul. And as a result, you are attached to them. So you won't reach the ocean. If, however, you see the five aggregates as the five aggregates of mentality and physicality, you won't take them for a person, a being, and I know, a you, a soul, or a self. Then you will not be attached to them, and so you will reach the ocean. That Rolls Royce you bought yesterday, which was so expensive. If you see it as a Rolls Royce, then you are attached to it. But If you see it as a material process of a rupakhanda, aggregate of a materiality, you won't be attached to it. Then you won't be unhappy when it's scratched, because you don't take it as a valuable Rolls Royce of yours. You are caught on neither of the two banks. What the Lord Buddha means by sinking into the water is attachment, desire, craving, greed, lust, love. If you are attached to any living being or inanimate object, you won't be able to reach the ocean. Then, landing on a small island means conceit, pride, or haughtiness. If you are proud of or conceited about your wealth or your rank, that conceit delays you in your attainment of Nibbana. Being conceited, you are unable to realize the mental and physical processes and their true nature, and you will take your bodily and mental process to be a person, a being, in atta or a you. Then there will rise many other defilements such as anger, lust, greed, hatred, and so on. So, you landing on a small island in this way won't be able to reach the ocean, because you aren't able to realize natural process as the natural process, or five aggregates as just a natural process. If the log is taken away by a human being, it won't reach the ocean. This refers to bhikkhus. Supposing a bhikkhu does not do his work of learning scriptures, practicing meditation, delivering sermons, leading his disciples on the right path, and encouraging them to meditate for their salvation. Instead, he mixes with the laity in a proper way. Such a bhikkhu is taken away by human beings. He will be unable to reach the ocean. He will be attached to these people whom he is improperly associating with. He will be so attached to worldly affairs that he won't be able to realize the three characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena. That is anicca, dukkha, and anatta, impermanence, suffering, and no soul, no self, and an ego. If he is unable to realize these three basic facts of existence, he will be so strongly attached to worldly things that he won't want to reach the ocean. If the log is taken away by a devil, it won't reach the ocean. This means that if you perform any wholesome or meritorious deeds such as giving a charity, dana, observing moral precepts, sila, and meditation, bhavana, with a view to rebirth in the realm of devas or brahmas, then you will be taken away by them to their realm. What about your purpose of meditating here? To be reborn in the realm of devas or brahmas? Huh? And then you won't be taken away by devas. Yeah. You may achieve your aim of a better rebirth because of the good you have done. You will be reborn as a shining one, that is a devas, but you won't be able to reach the ocean. Deva means one who shines. If you become a deva, deity, you will be very attached to yourself. Why? Because you are shiny and very beautiful. So So you will be attached to yourself. Then you won't be able to reach the ocean. If the log sinks into a whirlpool, it won't reach the ocean. This means that if you are indulging in sensual pleasure, you won't reach the ocean. This is attachment. If you are attached to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you touch, and what you think about, then you become caught in a very big whirlpool. You won't be able to reach the ocean. Because the doctrine of the Buddha is so very rational, logical, and natural, I'm sure that you agree with him on this point. Then, the last one, becoming rotten. If the log becomes rotten, it won't reach the ocean. That means that if you pretend to be a very virtuous person, when you are actually not, you become rotting and will not reach the ocean. You won't reach Nibbana. The omniscient Buddha said, if you have none of these eight kinds of faults, you are certain to reach the ocean because you will be carried there by the middle current of the river. The middle current is the Noble Eightfold Path. If you develop the Noble Eightfold Path, you are not kept on the near bank or the far bank. You are not submerged under the water. You won't land on a small island. You won't be taken away by humans or devas. You won't be caught in a whirlpool. You won't become rotten. Then you are certain to reach the ocean of Nibbana. You must try to develop the Noble Eightfold Path so that you do not have any of these eightfold faults. What should you do to develop this Noble Eightfold Path? Sila, morality, is the foundation, the basic requirement. Samadhi, concentration, is built on the foundation of a sila. Panya, insight and enlightenment, comes with the proper application of a concentration. It's very easy to develop this Noble Eightfold Path, which consists of sila, samadhi, and panya. Know yourself, or just know your bodily and mental process as they really are, that's all. Watch any action or movement by your body and mind as it really is, and as it occurs, without analyzing it, without thinking about it. Just pay bare attention to what's happening to your body and mind as it really is. That's all. If you use any intellectual knowledge or preconceptions in this awareness by your bodily and mental processes, then you go astray and your mind is not well concentrated. You will not be able to realize bodily and mental phenomena as they really are. When you observe any activity of a body and mind as it really occurs, then gradually your mind becomes concentrated on any process that is observed. Then the concentration becomes deeper and stronger. Your mind is purified from nivarana hindrances, such as kamachanda, vyapada, tinamaida, uddaja kukkuja, and vichikicca. Kamachanda means a sensual desire. Vyapada means ill will. Tinamaida means a sloth and tapas. Uddaja kukkuja means restlessness and remorse. Vichikicca means skeptical doubt. If you have one of these five hindrances in your mind, Your mind is defiled. It's not pure. When your mind is not pure, then your insight is not penetrating. Only when the mind is purified of these five hindrances, can your insight knowledge become penetrating. When it's penetrating, you will be able to realize bodily and mental processes first and their specific characteristics, and second and their general or common characteristics. Realization at these two levels are called right understanding, samadhi, in the course of Vipassana meditation. When it has reached its climax, you attain to Nibbana, the cessation of suffering. Through the first enlightenment, Sotapatti Jnana, which realizes the Four Noble Truths, you have reached the ocean. However, it's only through deep concentration, when you are mindful of bodily and mental phenomena, that you are able to realize them with the three levels of right understanding. The first level of right understanding, is realization of the specific characteristics of materiality and mentality. The second is realization of general or common characteristics of materiality and mentality. The third is the realization of the Four Noble Truths. Dukkha, the origin of dukkha, the cessation of dukkha, and the way leading to the cessation of dukkha. So, to purify the mind, we need the Noble Eightfold Path. To realize mental and physical processes and their specific and general characteristics, we need the Noble Eightfold Path. To realize the Four Noble Truths, we need the Noble Eightfold Path. This is the middle current of the river. On the night when the omniscient Buddha was about to pass away, he was reclining on a bed prepared for him in Kusinara Park. In the first watch of the night, Subhadra, a mendicant, came to him and said, "Venerable Gautama Buddha, I have followed various doctrines taught to me by various teachers. They all say that they know all and that they are Arahants. Is what they say true?" The omniscient Buddha left the questions unanswered and admonished Subhadra, "Subhadra, whether they know all or not does not matter. It's not concerned with you, with your salvation. With your deliverance. So I won't answer this question. My time is approaching. I will teach you what's important for your emancipation. Listen to me attentively." Then the Buddha said, "Subhadra, in any doctrine in which the Noble Eightfold Path is not found, there will be not any samana. Here samana means one who has calmed and destroyed all defilements. It means that if there is no Noble Eightfold Path in a doctrine, then there is no one who has destroyed all defilements but
destroyed the mental defilements by following it and got rid of suffering. So, if you follow any doctrine in which you do not have to develop the Noble Eightfold Path, you are certain not to destroy defilements and get rid of suffering. Here the omniscient Buddha points out the criteria of the true Dhamma. Then the Lord Buddha said, Subhadra, only in my doctrine or in my sasana is there the Noble Eightfold Path to develop. Therefore, there is a samana only in my doctrine. This discourse, expounded by the omniscient Buddha to Subhadra, fits in with the parable of the log, because a person who does not develop the Noble Eightfold Path is sure not to reach the ocean of Nibbana. If he develops the Noble Eightfold Path, he is certain to reach the ocean of Nibbana, as he will not be kept on the far wing or the near wing, etc. The omniscient Buddha taught us the way to develop the Noble Eightfold Path, that is the technique of mindfulness and meditation. The omniscient Buddha taught us the way of mindfulness when he expounded the discourse on the four foundations of mindfulness, Maha, Satipatthana, Sutta. He teaches us to be mindful of a bodily process, sensation, consciousness, and mind object as they really occur. So, the principle of mindfulness meditation is to observe, to be mindful of, to be aware of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. Even unpleasant sensation of pain, aching, stiffening, itching, and the like must be mindful of as they really are. When you feel pain in your back or in your knee, you must observe it as it really is. You must not use the chair to sit on for meditation. Did you use any chair? Yes. So the principle of mindfulness meditation is to observe, to be mindful of, to be aware of whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs. Even unpleasant sensation of pain, aching, stiffening, itching, and the like must be mindful of as they really are. I repeated it because it's very much important. When you feel pain in your back or in your knee, you must observe it as it really is. You must not try to make it go away. You must not make it disappear, because the pain will help you attain Nibbana. Do you believe that? Huh? Yeah. Sure. Because the pain will help you attain Nibbana. In other words, pain is the key to the door of Nibbana. Remember it. What's there? Pain is the key to the door of Nibbana. If you have pain, you should be very glad to have the key to open the door of the Nibbana and get inside. So, if you feel a painful sensation, you are very lucky, huh? If you feel a painful sensation, you are very lucky. It will lead you to the cessation of a suffering, because it is one of the five aggregates to be thoroughly realized. It's an aggregate of a sensation, which is the truth of suffering, and must be thoroughly understood. If you realize this painful sensation in its true nature, and it's a specific as well as a, and it's a general characteristic. We see it as a just a natural process rising and passing away from moment to moment. It does not last for even a second. And through the realization of this pain or aggregate of sensation, you can attain to the enlightenment by which you can destroy all the defilements and get rid of the suffering. That's why I say that if you feel a painful sensation, then you are very lucky. Why? Because you have a mental process together with a physical process to watch, to observe, and to realize. That pain gives you a very good opportunity to realize its true nature, and so leads you to the cessation of a dukkha, nibbana. It's here, I think, needed to explain the specific characteristics of a mentality and physicality, and that they are general or common characteristics. Every mental or physical process has its own distinct features which have nothing in common with any other mental or physical process. You know lova, greed, craving, desire, lust, and attachment are all encompassed. Lova has its own characteristics which it does not belong to any other mental or physical process. If you have love or desire for that Rolls Royce, you will become proud, possessed, and covetous. You become attached to it. So the specific characteristic of a lova is a clinging, an attachment. Dosa, anger, is different. It has the characteristic of a rudeness, whereas a lova draws the things towards it. Dosa is aversion, it rebels. Physical and mental processes which constitute a so-called person are Patthavi Dhatu, Avo Dhatu, Tejo Dhatu, Vayo Dhatu, Akasa Dhatu, and Vijnana Dhatu. These six elements are those of earth, water, fire, air, space, and consciousness. Patthavi Dhatu, the element of earth, has hardness and softness as its characteristic. This characteristic belongs only to the earth element, to no other elements. It's therefore the specific characteristic of the earth element. Why Abodhadu, water element, has a fluidity and cohesion as its specific characteristic. Heat and cold are the specific characteristic of a Tejo Dhatu, fire element or temperature. When a meditator has obtained deep concentration of a mind, his mind is purified, then he begins to realize the specific characteristics of a mental and physical processes. So, when you observe your abdomen rise and fall, a physical process, and your concentration becomes sharp enough, you begin to realize the rise and fall, rising and falling movements very clearly. Movement or motion is the specific characteristic of the wind or air element. When you rightly understand the rising movement or falling movement very clearly and very penetratingly, you are not aware of the form of your body or abdomen. What you are realizing at that moment is just the movement. outward movement and inward movement. Then you begin to realize the specific characteristic of the air element, vayu dhatu. The general characteristic of a material and mental phenomena are anicca, dukkha, and anatta, impermanence, suffering, and no soul, no self nature. Every mental state, emotional states, and physical processes has these three characteristics in common. They are called common characteristics because they belong to every mental and emotional states and physical process. After you have passed two stages of insight knowledge, that is knowledge of differentiating between materiality and mentality, and that knowledge of a cause and effect, you come to realize that these three general characteristics of physical and psychophysical phenomena. This insight knowledge is known as knowledge of comprehension, which comprehends all these general characteristics of material and mental phenomena, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. When a meditator's insight knowledge becomes mature on account of the diligent practice, continuous and constant mindfulness for the whole day, with the deeper concentration growing naturally, he is certain to pass through all the stages of insight with his personal experience of them. His bodily and mental processes, the bodily process which is noted, and the mental process which is noted, which is noting, and the mental process which notes it, cease to exist. Then he attains Nibbana, the cessation of compounded things, Sankhara. There, at the moment, he gets into the state of the cessation of Sankhara, compounded things. He has abundant attachment, the cause of suffering. Because he has rightly and perfectly understood dukkha, suffering, so the truth of suffering has been perfectly understood, thoroughly realized. The cause of suffering is abundant at the moment. The truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering, the Noble Eightfold, has been developed. You have reached the cessation of compounded things, Sankhara. Here he has attained the third level of right understanding, that is enlightenment. By realizing the Four Noble Truths, then he reaches the ocean because he has been carried away by the middle current, the Noble Eightfold Path. He is not kept on the near bank, nor the far bank. He is not submerged under the water. He is not stranded on the island. So he reached the ocean. The Lord Buddha, sitting under a tree on the bank of the river Ganga, delivered this discourse, the discourse of Dharukhando Pama Sutta. A cowherd named Nanda, who listened to the discourse, was so much inspired by it that he wanted to be carried away by the middle current. What does he mean by that? He want to develop the Noble Eightfold Path so that he can be carried away into the ocean. So he approached the Lord Buddha and requested ordination as a bhikkhu. Venerable sir, I am afraid of being kept on the near bank or the far bank or the submerged into the river. I want to be carried away by the middle current and reach the ocean. Please ordain me a bhikkhu so that I can develop the Noble Eightfold Path. The Omniscient Buddha said, No, boy, you are a cowherd. No, boy, you are a cowherd. What does it mean? Yes, no, boy, you are a cowherd. First, you have a duty to drive your cows back home. You should entrust them to their owner. Unless you do that, I cannot ordain you. That's what the Buddha means. You are a cowherd. Cowherd has a duty to entrust his cows to the owner. Huh? Cowherd. A cowherd. Yes, yes. A cowherd. Yes. So a cowherd. Did as the Omniscient Buddha urged. Then he returned to the ordained, to be ordained as a bhikkhu. Bhikkhu Nanda, no Vimalananda. It's a Nanda, just a Nanda, no Vimalananda. Bhikkhu Nanda went into the forest, but Vimalananda went into retreat. Bhikkhu Nanda went into the forest to a secluded place and developed the Noble Eightfold Path by being aware of all mental and physical phenomena that were arising from moment to moment. Because he was willing to be carried away by the middle current, he meditated diligently in a very short time. He was carried away by the middle current and reached the ocean of Nibbana. He reached the ocean of Nibbana because he has none of those eightfold faults and was carried away by the middle current of the Noble Eightfold Path that runs towards the ocean. The Lord Buddha repeatedly said, be mindful of what's happening at this moment as it really is, or be aware of whatever arises in your body and mind as it really is. Then all of you will be carried away by the middle current and attain Nibbana, the ocean. So do not let yourself kept on the far bank or near bank, or sink into the middle of a river and land on an island, and try to develop the Noble Eightfold Path. Then you are sure to reach the ocean of Nibbana. Now, the discourse is finished. Then, here in the discourse, the Buddha said, having listened to this discourse of the parable of the log, the cowherd, correct? The cow? Heard the cow heard. Is it right? The cow heard. inspired by the discourse, requested the Buddha to ordain him a bhikkhu. Then he attained the bhikkhuship and strive for being carried away by the middle current, and then he is carried away into the ocean. Then we have finished our discourse of Darukhanopama Sutta. Is there anyone who wants to be ordained? And you are not cowards, so you don't want to be carried away to the ocean of Nibbana, but you want to be carried away into the ocean of Sansara, so the cycle of rebirths, because you want the suffering. Yes. Is there anyone who wants to be ordained to get and to be carried away by the middle current? I'm ready. To ordain you. For female meditators, nuns, and male meditators and bhikkhus, I'm ready to ordain you. No. There's no one who wants to be carried away by the middle current, because the speaker is not a Buddha. Yes. Then you should expect, you should look forward to meeting the Maitreya Buddha, so that you can request your ordination. Yes, enough. May all of you strive your best to be carried away by the middle current. Diligently, honestly, and develop the noble eightfold path and achieve your goal of Nibbana.